Today, if you will, turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 13. Ephesians 5:13. As you may also be aware, our computer is on the fritz, so we're not having a great day here today. So we hope that we can do all right without it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, writes Paul, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." And that's the verse that we have in mind to talk about this morning, that 14th verse. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, those other verses we've read in order to gather a bit of context about it. Now, the verse that we have interest in is in verse 14, as we mentioned. The writer there says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Now, that text appears, it says, "Therefore it says," so it appears to be a suggestion of a passage from the Old Testament, the one that is usually isolated and thought to be in the writer's mind would be from Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. Although it does bear some resemblance to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. But the greater likelihood is that he is referring to the thought that is presented in chapter 26 verse 19, book of Isaiah. Now, if you go there and read that, you'll see that it bears some resemblance, but that it is not precisely a quotation of it. It is a reference that he adds the aspect of Christ to. Now, the topic of what is under consideration there is actually the thing that is addressed in the passage. And what it does, it uses what we might call a similitude, something that is a comparative that describes, in this instance, the state of the lost sinner. And in the Bible, in general, we know that the sinner is called, for example, a deceived person, a person who is perishing, a person who is alien, is a rebel, is an outcast, is a slave to sin, is a captive to the devil. He is diseased, he is blind, he is wretched, he is naked, and he is lost. He is all of those things in a spiritual sense. Not literally, of course, but spiritually. And here in this instance, he says he's somebody who's asleep, who needs to be waked up. Now, since every single one of us has to sleep a certain amount every single day or else we die, then we have a basic understanding of what sleep and rest are. We understand how that works. And so there are several thoughts that I want to talk to you about this morning that this reference really has to do with. Because, again, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light," or "will shine upon you," as different versions say. First of all, it needs to be understood that the analogy suggests that the lost sinner is someone who is in a state of darkness. Awake, O sleeper. He's in a state of darkness. People generally sleep at night. It's always been so. It'll always be so. Because darkness is conducive to sleep. And the light discourages sleep, maybe even makes it impossible. I don't know if you've ever taken a long nap in the daytime, but if you have, it was in a dark room, because it's not easy to sleep in a room that is not dark. There's a rhythm of the body, we are told, that rhythm works with nature. It is called the circadian rhythm sometimes. When the darkness falls, our bodies want to sleep. Our eyes feel sleepy. Our mind gets sleepy. When a driver is attempting to drive all night, when I was young, I used to do that quite often. Because it was great. You could just sail right through the cities because there was no traffic. Because nobody was dumb enough to be driving at 2 a.m. in the morning except us. But it was great to be able to drive with no traffic. But the person who does that will be able to tell you several things. Number one, they'll be able to tell you that every single waking moment at, let's say, 2:30 in the morning, you're fighting sleep. You want to sleep so bad, but you can't sleep. The mind and the body together are fighting what you're doing, because what you're doing is not natural. It does not fit the circadian rhythm of the body. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is one aspect of Paul's illustration that he uses here. Another is the fact that some people slumber so delicately, in the sense that they can't really be touched by anything else, that they actually cannot be roused. Have you ever known someone, you can't hardly get them up? You can't wake them up? Such a person is usually someone who will walk in their sleep. Now, maybe you've known, we had family members in my family who would walk in their sleep. Fortunately, I wasn't one of them. But we had family members, and sometimes you'd have to get up and grab them before they walk out the door, because they just walk out the door in their sleeping clothes, because in a sound sleep, because that's the way human beings sometimes are. They walk in their sleep. And this is one of the things that Paul has in mind. When someone is in a state that is described here, he is difficult to rouse from his spiritual sleep. Not his physical sleep, his spiritual sleep. He needs to know that he's in darkness and that he's asleep, but it's hard to make him aware of it because he is asleep in the first place. Psalm 107 says in verse 10, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart." Now notice how the author has twice here, and by the way, it's found repetitively in the scriptures, not just here in this one passage from the Old Testament, but it's found in the New Testament as well, where it speaks of darkness and the shadow of death in one breath. Darkness and the shadow of death. And what it means is it's talking about the pall of darkness that falls upon the person who is spiritually destined for perdition. In Isaiah 29:18, "In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and their darkness the eyes of the blind shall see." You see, the darkness attends spiritual sleep. The Lord has taken steps, though, to enliven and enlighten the ways of those who walk in darkness. And that's what every one of these passages that you run across has to say. For example, in Matthew 4, verse 16, Jesus said, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You see, it's all about awakening people from their spiritual darkness. In Luke chapter 1 and in verse 76, "You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death." Remember, I told you, Old Testament and New Testament both use that expression. "To guide our feet into the way of peace. Again, Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. And so the Bible says to us, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Secondly, we need to know that what is described here is a state of insensitivity. When a person is spiritually asleep, he's insensitive. A sleeping man is not aware that he's sleeping. You wouldn't want to wake him up and say, he says, what? You say, "Well, you're asleep. I just wanted you to know that." Well, he wouldn't probably be very friendly toward you if he did such a thing. But in fact, he is usually unaware of absolutely everything that is happening around him. Completely insensitive to anything. I saw a story not long ago of a woman whose husband divorced her, and she became very angry at this. And he remarried. And when he remarried, she ultimately decided she was going to get even with both of them. And so what she did was she broke into their home in the middle of the night. And she stood over the bed, and I've thought about this ever since. You can't hardly not think about it. But here was this woman standing over this couple in the bed. They were asleep, middle of the night, 2 a.m. She cocks the hammer on a pistol, pulls the trigger, shoots him in the head, then again pulls the trigger and shoots her in the head. Both of them fast asleep, totally insensitive to what was happening about them. Don't you know that if they had known someone was in their home, someone with murderous intent, they would have gotten up and they would have done something? But what was the problem? They were insensitive, weren't they? They were asleep. And so she murdered them both. And that was essentially the story, is this murderous rage that this woman had. Well, the person who is thus asleep does not hear anything, does not see anything, does not feel anything. He does not feel pain, and he does not feel pleasure. He's asleep. And that's the state of the person in a spiritual sense who is out of harmony with God. And the unfortunate circumstance is that he's out of harmony with God, but he doesn't know it. He's not sensitive to it, because he's in a state of spiritual sleep. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven," as he spoke to his disciples, "but to them it has not been given." In other words, they're spiritually asleep. He said, "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will be given an abundance. But from the one who has not, even that which he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." We're talking about insensitivity. And so this person, they see what God's people enjoy, spiritually speaking, but they don't care. They're not sensitive to it. They're not enjoying fellowship with God or with God's people. They miss out on every sweet spiritual reality there is, and yet they feel nothing. Ephesians 4:19 says, "Who being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." The result of that is that 1,000 blessings pass them by, but he has no taste for them. He has no taste for them. Now, it's a little bit like me and chitlins. I must tell you, I have no taste for chitlins. I've had other people say, "Oh, chitlins are wonderful. You need to try some chitlins." I said, "No, just the thought of chitlins is all I need. Just the knowledge of what they are. I don't need them. I don't have a taste for them." And the spiritual blessing, and you don't know what you're missing, Dan. You just don't know what you're missing. I don't know about that. I'm not. The chitlin folks can have the chitlins, but I'm not a Chitlin person. And the point is that spiritual blessings are a little bit like that, aren't they? That folks who have an appreciation for them are sensitive to them and they enjoy them. But the person who is not sensitive to them doesn't care about them, just really doesn't care. And so awake, O sleeper, the Bible says, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light or will shine upon you, as the scripture says. Wake up. Then there's a third thing the Bible says about this person, and that is he is in a state of inactivity. One of the good things about sleeping is that you're tired and usually you need some rest. You usually sleep after activity. You may be exhausted from something that you've done. If you had a hard day of work, then you sleep very soundly, a difficult task or series of them. Perhaps intense emotion or a stressful situation. You remember the Bible says that when Jesus went back to the disciples that they slept because it says for the stress of the moment, for their sadness. Occasionally, we may have a fitful night when we're so overworked or so stressed that we cannot sleep. And that's when we lose what we call a good night's sleep. We didn't have one that night. But those who fall asleep when they should be working for the Lord are dead to His work and inactive in their service for God. And that's really the person that Paul had in mind when he originally wrote Ephesians 5:14. He's trying to wake up some of the Christians at Ephesus who needed to wake up because they were spiritually dead. Spiritually asleep, but in the real sense, spiritually dead. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4, Paul wrote, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you like a thief. For you're all sons of light and sons of day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. So let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober," putting on the breastplate and so forth. The point is, be awake. Be sober. And that state of inactivity, that should not describe you or me. We're God's people and we ought to be serving Him actively, not spiritually asleep. So, the Bible says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." But then, in the fourth place, this person, the Bible says, is in a state of illusion. Illusion. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it. When we sleep, frequently we dream, don't we? Now, what about those dreams that we have? Well, those dreams that we have are usually vain and vapid imaginations. Silly. Mostly the things that we dream about are ridiculous. You wouldn't even want to talk about them. They're so dumb. Most of what we dream about is meaningless. It is immediately forgotten because it has no real significance. We're in a state of illusion when we're asleep and dreaming. No desires are formed for accomplishment. No plans are laid in sleepful dreaming. No work is accomplished thus. And we are in a state, if you will, of meaningless stupor. But it's okay when you're physically sleeping because that's the way sleeping works. On the other hand, spiritually speaking, when you fall into that sort of a stupor, you're in trouble. Many people live out their lives like that. Impoverished by sin's consequences, they may dream big dreams of wealth. Oh, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to hit the jackpot. I'm going to this, I'm going to that. And we dream of dignity when in fact our lives are debased For wretched by sin, we dream of bliss. Those headed for hell may dream of heaven and may even dream of eternal life, notwithstanding the fact that the Lord warns it will not come unto them unless they repent. John 5, verse 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of judgment." And so we don't want to live in a state of spiritual stupor, dreaming that we're going to heaven when we're not, dreaming that we're on God's best side when we're not. Those are just dreams, unless we have done what the Lord has commanded us. If we did what the Lord commanded us and we're doing what the Lord commands, then we're not dreaming about it. We're living it out. It's reality. And unfortunately, too many people like the dream state. And so the Bible says to you, if that's your state, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. But let me add that the Bible says that such a person is in what we might call unperceived peril. When we're sleeping, any sort of danger can exist. In the very room with us at that moment, and we may fail to recognize it because we are fast asleep. I've seen snakes in India, for example, where a cobra would crawl into the room while people are sleeping. Imagine that. That's just a scary thought, isn't it? You're asleep in the bed, a cobra crawls into your room with you, and you're in a state of unperceived peril, unaware of what's going on. A person who is spiritually asleep does not fully realize the danger that lurks in the darkness in which they are living. Romans 13 says in verse 11, "And knowing this, the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when you first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." That passage describes the lives of a lot of people today. They say, I'm a partier. You see them on Facebook and other places. I'm a big partier. This weekend we're going to party all weekend. He just described that person in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. That's that person's life. But that person is in a state of unperceived peril. Damnation awaits such a person. And the Bible says that we need to be warned that that peril is all about us, and at any moment we could be cast into eternal damnation if we are not prepared for the Lord's coming. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. One final thing is added in the scriptures about such a person. Such an individual is in what we might call a state of dis-ease. Disease. That's what disease is. Dis-ease. You're not comfortable. You have a disease. Well, what kind of a disease are we talking about here? Well, the sickness is called sleeping sickness. Maybe you know about it. Maybe you've read about it. In certain countries, especially Africa, there is a parasitic infection that comes about when one is bitten by a tsetse fly. Tiny little fly bites you, and leaves a tiny protozoan in your flesh, and it gets into your bloodstream and infects you. And the result of it is tragic. It's called sleeping sickness, because a person who gets it is awake all night long. They cannot sleep all night long. But then when the daytime comes, it's reversed. They sleep all day long in a state of total, utter detachedness. They're completely detached from the real world. If there's work to be done, they can't do it. When it comes to eating and drinking and keeping the body in good shape, they can't do that. Nothing, because they have sleeping sickness. Well, spiritually speaking, the individual who does not respond when Christ attempts to rouse us from our spiritual stupor is exactly like that. We finally succumb to the awful results of that disease if we're not careful. And so the Bible responds by saying, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Are you sleeping the sleep of spiritual lethargy this morning? All of these things we've talked about can be the characteristic of you. And when we think about them in terms of physical sleep, sometimes they're terrifying. But I'm saying spiritually they're terrifying too. And the results can be devastating. Much more so than any physical inadequacy. Is there someone here with us this morning who has one of these problems, or many of them perhaps, and would like to make his or her life right with God? God would have you come and be a part of His kingdom, a part of His church. And as the Bible says, allow Christ to shine upon you, to allow Him to give you light. You can walk in darkness or you can walk in light. It's up to you. It's your choice.